chapter 10. Well, how many of you realize we're going into a new year? Now, some of you real spiritual people don't know what I'm talking about, but because every year is a light to you. But let's think carnally just for a second. This is a new year. Hallelujah. Praise God. Romans 10. I want to give you a message that God gave to me I'd like to say 20 some years ago, but He spoke to me prophetically this morning. And how many of you ever gotten up and was praying and all of a sudden God, it just happened to be that morning that God talked a lot. You know, God don't talk very much. He just makes little quotations to me. And I'll go to the Word and wonder what they're about. But this morning, He began to talk. And I'm walking around, not even know where I'm going and what I'm thinking. And He's just talking to me. And I said, God, do you want me to prophesy this? Or do you want me to just teach it? And He said, well, it's up to you. He says, we can give it first person. Or you can give it second person. That means me. I says, well, this is so good. I think my people would receive it either way. Whether I prophetically spoke it, or whether it just came out of what He had spoken to me this morning. So the things I want to share with you this morning are the things that I've learned over the years. But this morning, the Lord put an emphasis that it is important for you to hear this morning. How many of you know we are going into a new year? And I know that some ministers mock New Year's resolutions or whatever they call them. I do have certain resolutions that I look at the beginning of every year. I do. And the reason I do is not to be religious about it, but to bring a discipline or a self-control from my inner man to the outer man for that purpose. I don't know what your New Year's resolution might be. I always try to encourage people, make your New Year's resolution more productive the following year than you had from the previous. Make it more productive and stick to it. And so my New Year's resolutions are never anything real extravagant because I've learned something about myself. I'm not really consistent with some things that I overwhelm myself with. So I try to pick one small little thing that will help me. And that's what you should do this year before the Lord. But the message that I am going to share with you this morning, like I said, came out of my spirit. Even though I'd known it before. God, how many of you know certain things about your walk with the Lord and that through time it loses its cutting edge? But then all of a sudden the Lord can rekindle that thing in you by speaking it to you. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And then all of a sudden something that you've heard in the past or something you've done, now all of a sudden has a fire under it and gets kindling itself. Well, that's what the Lord prophetically rekindled some things in my heart for you this morning. And I know it's for you. How many of you know this morning you came to church because you obeyed the voice of God to come, so I at least should feed you. Amen? And so, pardon, Billy? You want steak and potatoes. Well, I'll let you guys determine what you're eating this morning. But the meal that you like the most, you can consider that to be the message. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're coming into the Word of God here this morning. Father, this morning when I was with you, you rekindled some things in my heart. And so, Father, I pray that I do you justice today and share this word that will help your people to understand the importance of what it means to hear the Word of God. So, Father, may I do you honor, because I know that I'll stand before you one day and be held accountable for what I put into the souls of men. So, Father, today, may I be accountable to what I share, that I see good results from your people. Amen. You know, in Romans 10, look at verse 17. Romans 10, 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? First Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation, and I will anger you by a foolish nation. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me, and I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. But to Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. Today I want to talk to you about how to listen or hear the Word of God. And I guess the best way I can get it across to you about hearing the Word of God is by showing you some things that hinder your ability to hear the Word of God. My eyes were opened after Sue and I had left Ramah. My eyes were really opened to how hearing the Word of God is a real unique thing. And yet we've made it commonplace because we're constantly hearing something all the time. But what had happened to me is when I was going to Ramah, it was the last year you could tape all the classes. So I taped every single class. Sue will be my witness. I had them all categorized and had them all labeled. I meant, because we had a tape recorder, a duplicate. Remember that, Sue? And I duplicated and taped. And so when I left Ramah, I mean, I'll never forget walking down those aisles and getting our certificates. And one of the greatest days of my life, Sue and I had to graduate that year. And I got a job in Seattle. And so I had to drive from Tacoma to Seattle. Thank God that was back in 1980. My, how time has gone. It had been quite a few years before I even took that drive again, and I went into shock. There was a lot of additive to the freeway. But what I did is I purposed to go through that entire year of Ramah again by those cassette tapes. And so I started listening to them. And as I was going through them, and I don't know whether you remember, Sue, but I always come home and say, oh my gosh, you know what they said in the class there? And I was there and I heard them preach it and I missed what they were saying. I was constantly in shock in how much I never learned while I was there listening to them. I was shocked. I said, I don't remember Bob Yandian teaching that. I don't remember Rodney Lloyd saying that. The teachers that I had. I can't believe he said that and I missed it. I mean, I went into shock because I had missed. I tried to get a percentage of what I'd missed, and I think I come up with about a little over 60% is what I missed. That's a high percentage. I mean, when I started hearing those cassette tapes again, I was shocked at how much a lot of it just went whing. And the Lord began to take advantage of that opportunity to tell me how important it is to have ears to hear with. You know, Jesus constantly said one thing throughout all the Gospels. All of the apostles that laid the foundation put this in there constantly. That Jesus said, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. I said, Lord, what do you mean by he that has ears to hear, let him hear? He says, well, why do you think that you've missed so much when you were in the classroom? Boy, that gave me some heads up. And I didn't know how to define how I had missed so much. And yet I thought I knew. I'm going to tell you something. I went back to Winter Bible Seminar after not being back at Rhema for, was it 8 years or something like that? It was quite a while. And I went back and I had heard Kenneth Hagin's testimony on his healing time and time again to the point where you knew how he was going to start out and how he was going to say it and everything. And I'm at camp meeting for the first time, going back to camp meeting, and listening to Kenneth Hagin get up at Winter Bible Seminar and is going to do a message on his testimony of his healing. And right away, you know what my brain said? Oh my gosh, I've heard this. I spent over $1,000 to get here and I'm going to hear about that testimony again. And so I said, well, God, you impressed upon me to be here. I'm here. So I'm going to put forth the effort to pay attention. Because I have learned from you since I left for him. I have learned from you how important it is that when God opens his mouth on that platform, pay attention to it. And he told his testimony, and people, I had heard that testimony and heard it and heard it, and this is the first time I heard it. I went, my gosh, is that the same testimony? I didn't hear this, and I didn't hear this, and I didn't hear this. And God said, my son, you do grow in the Lord. And when you grow, I have been able to put some things in your heart that would give you an understanding of how to hear my word. And that's all you were doing, is applying those principles to hear the word of God. Well, when I looked at that, the Lord impressed upon me, it is so important that you understand how to hear the word of God. Because if you don't understand how to hear, then he says there's no way your faith can grow. Do you know that your faith is an amplification of what you have heard from the word of God? And yet many believers don't understand why they're not getting the results that they should be getting, because they have heard the word, and they're not getting the results that they should get. Why is that? Well, that's a good question. Because I'm going to tell you something. Just hearing something doesn't validate a faith in you. All it might indicate is you got head knowledge, but you ain't got heart knowledge. There's a difference between knowing it here and knowing it in your heart. And you know where the difference is? Is in the hearing. How do you hear? How do you hear? And I got some good encouraging news for you people. Listening to the Word of God, hearing it, even when you're reading it, you're hearing it. I got good news for you. It gets easier, not more difficult. But there are some things that you have to take a look at that could possibly be in you in order to understand hearing the Word of God. Now, I've got 10 points, and I love points, over my life. Because usually, in my thinking, when I have a point system, it's easier for me to assimilate and understand things because it relates back to me so well. Ladies, you understand what it means to have a cookbook. I live with a woman. She can cook. But one thing that Sue, you'll learn about her, is that she looks to the ingredients in that cookbook to get the results that she wants. Have you ever wondered why some people are good cooks and some people are rotten ones? Have you ever wondered that? Because some people just don't care to cook. They just don't care to take the time. They get sloppy at putting their ingredients together. And when you taste it, you go, "What is this?" Huh? But man, when you taste Sue's food, I got to say, she's the best cook I've ever run across. And I know a lot of you men are going to say the same about yours. But man, that woman can cook. But she knows how to follow instructions to get it done. And so I always go by these several things that the Lord speaks to me in my heart through the Word of God. And so I make note of them. I write them down. Then God puts Scripture to it, and I go back to it and find it in Scripture, and it's fabulous. But these are 10 points that I already had written down. I'm going to quote them to you real quick, like, and then we're going to cover them. But if the Bible says here that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, first of all, the word "by" is not a good term. In the Greek, it's through. So when you're hearing the Word of God, you got to hear it through the Word of God. Boy, if we'd get a revelation of that. If we would get a revelation of that. Through the Word of God. There are people out there preaching what they call the Word, and it's not through it. It's more by it rather than through it. By it, you can have problems. Through it, you'll be more accurate. This is my GPS. To my walk with God. It is. But you have to connect with this GPS to find out where you belong. Some people go through life, they have a GPS at hand, never learn how to use it. They get out in the woods and get lost and go, "Duh, I don't know how to use this thing." But why did you buy it? Bob Chambly and I, we were... been hunting quite a few years. Finally, one day it dawned on Bob and I, we're going to learn how to use a compass and walk by it. Wasn't that a brilliant deduction of ours? So Bob and I parked along 410 there, and we got out of his vehicle, and then another friend was with us, and we got off into the woods, and we got lost. But we took our compass reading and everything. And so we wandered around. I don't know how long we wandered all through the woods. No, this is the way. And we ended up in sticker bushes. And this is the way. And finally, one of the brothers with us said, "I don't need those compasses. I know how to get out of here. It's this way." And we go that way. And boy, I'll tell you what. If you want to read those compasses, go ahead. You'll make a believer out of me if they work. And I think it was Bob that finally talked to that brother and me into really focusing in on the compass by our readings. And so we followed that compass, And we came right out at the truck. But you know what? All the time we were going that direction, it didn't even seem right, did it, Bob? It felt weird. It was like, gee, this is not the right way to go. It's weird because somehow you get disoriented. You don't know north, south, east, and west from nothing when you're in a bunch of trees. And we come out of a, and the first thing came out of Bob's mouth is, hey, this works. And of course our friend said, well, that does it. I believe in compasses. I John Cook blessed me with a GPS and you just plug in those addresses, and I've learned something about a GPS. You have to be absolutely accurate with the spelling of the addresses. I sat there one time for 10 minutes trying to figure out why a certain address didn't exist. You know what it came down to? The misspelling of the street. I had to have the spelling of the street correct. Oh, duh. And then all of a sudden, hey, location found. And then you follow that GPS. I learned that you got to learn to follow a GPS. My dad, when he was flying as a pilot there in Alaska, we'd get into some weather that was thick as soup. And he constantly flew by instruments. And I'm going to tell you, in an airplane, do you know you can be flying upside down and not know it? John Kennedy, that young kid, only been in flying an airplane for a little while. They figured the way they were all strapped in and everything, they flew that plane upside down right into the ocean. Flew it directly into the ocean upside down. Why? Because he got disorientated. But my dad could trust in those instruments. He says, I've learned to pay attention to the instruments. Just like when we were looking at that compass, Bob insisted on going by our compass reading. We stuck to it and it worked even though it didn't seem like it was right. I'm going to tell you, that's the way the Word of God is. It's our GPS. Even though things in it says something, if you disobey it, you'll get lost in the process. You've got to let it work for you. And so hearing, if it's important. Now, why did Paul even write this in the book of Romans? The book of Romans is progressive. Well, he was actually giving an explanation of why the Jews were not coming into Christianity in the groves because they missed their Messiah and couldn't find him. And yet he was right there at their fingertips. Why Christians want to go back into Judaism to find their roots, the tree itself hasn't found its root rooting. That's the blind going to the blind to get some direction. He says, faith then is from hearing, and the hearing through a word of Christ. In the Greek, it's a word of Christ. It is not the word of God. It's a word of Christ. That's why the Jews could not understand why their faith wasn't working for them. They were looking to God rather than Christ, the manifested Messiah. And the word here for word is not logos, it's rhema. It's talking about a believer who is preaching the word of God. Logos is when God is speaking His word to you. Where rhema is where you are speaking the word that you logos from God, you rhema to somebody. That's why years ago when I started taking the Greek class, in Greek they told me that the logos is the spoken word of God, and I went and looked it up in the concordance. It says the spoken word of God. Well, how can rhema be the spoken word and logos supposed to be a spoken word? God said, I didn't give Adam a written word. I gave him a spoken word. He says, hundreds of years later, I had someone write the logos that I spoke. I didn't give him a King James Bible after he came to consciousness. After he was created. Some people seem to think that, but he says, no, I spoke to him. Because he was a speaking spirit. And he says, these points now, you can write them down real quick if you want to. But these points I want to give you because this is the instruction that God gave me why I was not a good hearer. Number one, attitude. A mental position is what that is, attitude. You can either have a threatening or a favorable, a fearful, a positive, a negative attitude. Or you can strike an attitude. A lot of people don't understand what it means to be stricken with an attitude. This is where vain imaginations play a major role. It literally means a voice can go off into your thinking and speak something to you you don't even know if it's true or not. And you can strike an attitude in yourself. Attitude is a major, major understanding that when you have the wrong attitude, a bad attitude, you're going to hear the Word of God through that attitude. And that's how you're going to interpret the Word. Attitude is a major way that the Word of God could be interpreted through you. And there's only one antidote. Gee, I should know with all them pill doc messages going on TV. Don't you get tired of listening to that? Take this pill, it'll kill you, but it'll heal this over here. It's crazy. You know what Sue and I do? We purpose to mute that stuff now. Get so tired of hearing it. What is with people anymore? I just call it baling wire. Something to hold you together. But attitude, you can get an attitude. See, I copped an attitude with these commercials, so I muted them. There's only one antidote for it. Did I say it right? Okay. Can anybody guess what that antidote is? Antidote. I only understand Greek. I don't understand English. What do you guys think it is? Antidote. Antidote. It's called, say it out loud. Jerry, you're hired. It's humility. Humility. Humility is one thing that you have to apply when you have an attitude about something. Psalms 37, verse 4 and 5 says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. You know, here's how people read that. I have a desire, and God will give it to me if I delight myself in him. That's not what that's saying. The word delight there is the Hebrew word onag, which literally means humility. Become soft and pliable, and he will put his desires in your heart. That's what that means. Christians who want their own desires, they're not capable of coming up with the right desire because man in himself is not capable of knowing the right way to go. And so God has to put his desires in your heart. And the only way you can do that is through humility. If you're a humble type of a person, you can receive correction, discipline, instruction. You can find direction with God if you're just willing to humble yourself. But pride will keep you out of it. Pride is an attitude. Point number two, you no longer are holding a driving force in you to be faithful to listen to the Word of God. And I, as your pastor, I was that way at one time. I got that way myself. I lost that driving force in me to be faithful to listen to the Word of God. I started serving you in a manner of, well, I got, this is my duty, and so I got to come up with a message. I don't do that anymore. I come up with what God wants you to have that week from my issue of my heart. There's a difference. There are some ministers preaching and mimicking another minister rather than really searching God and letting Him speak to your heart to give you what is necessary for you today, not last year. Most believers come to church to hear the Word of God out of convenience only. If it's convenient for me today, I'll go to church. If it's convenient for me, I'll go here. If it's convenient for me, I'll go there. So you're not going to be a good hearer if you go to hear a message out of convenience only. Because that is not a force that's driving you to know something. Diligence is one of the most beautiful, powerful words that the apostles use to say, stay on top of diligence. Stay on top of yourself to be diligent about things. Matter of fact, if you will turn over to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Now I'm giving you something that God gave me, that God told me to give you. He says, I'm tired of my people coming to church out of convenience only. I want them to come to church to hear the Word of God and place it beside themselves and conform to it. I'm tired of them coming to church to get a Word of God for all these other reasons. The number one thing that you should understand about the Word of God when you hear it is the application belongs to you first. Now, in Hebrews chapter 5, go to verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, was with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. This word obey or obedience means to yield to a superior command or force. Called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. This is very interesting, especially these words here. First of all, the word hard to explain in the Greek, it's interpret. And it means it's hard to interpret. Since you have become dull of hearing. What a verse. Dull of hearing. Since you have become dull of hearing. This is a very interesting word. Very interesting word. Here's what it's saying. He's saying, in order for you to interpret the Word of God clearly, the word interpret means to explain its meaning. Matter of fact, this word interpret goes all the way back to Proverbs called understanding. Did you know that every one of us can know about the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ? How many in here, every one of you, know about being saved through Jesus Christ? All of us can say that. But did you know that I say that not a lot of us could raise our hands because we don't understand the vitalness of that salvation? There are a lot of Christians who have hired Jesus into their life cheaply because they want a promise of going there after death. But very few of us come to the place of understanding the vitalness of why we chose our Lord. I'll never forget one brother got into a fight with me because he had this concept of eternal grace. And his doctrines were formed around his liberality. In other words, he received Jesus for fire prevention. but that's all he was interested in. He didn't care who started the fires. We start our own fire, whether we realize it or not. Now notice he says, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. The word become literally means to enter into an existing state that you should not be in. To enter into an existing state that you should not be in. How many of you have lost interest in hearing the Word of God? How many of you have? The rest of you are liars. Every one of us in this room are prone to losing a desire to hear the Word of God. You want to know why? Can anybody tell me why? I'll tell you why. You have a carnal mind and you have a physical body, and neither one of them know God. They don't. Do you know your flesh and your carnal mind can get excited about something? But you take that carnal mind and that flesh down the road of time, and you're going to find it gets weary. It starts having a voice of its own. How do I know? Oh, I've gotten sporadic in my walk with God. I was down one day and up the next, and down one day and up the next. And the thing that will stop your down and up is to be consistent. Regardless of your feelings, and most Christians are moved by bodily feelings. Which brings up the other points of what will hinder you to be able to hear the Word of God. And these three right here, attitude, no longer holding a driving force or faithful to listen, and no consideration for the outcome of what anchors and stabilizes your heart. Most believers do not understand the purpose of the wisdom of God. Its purpose is to stabilize you and make you consistent. So if hearing is the avenue through which these three can be a major problem with your hearing, then you got a problem. Now the reason I put these three here, these are what I call a foundation. It's something that you build in yourself out of a foundation, that something has got to then emanate a house off of it. So number one, you don't deal with hearing the Word of God through an attitude. That is part of that foundation. The second part of the foundation is that you purposely lose a driving force within you to listen to the Word of God. And then the third one that puts a nail in the coffin of it and completes the foundation is that you have no consideration for the outcome, what anchors and stabilizes your heart. Then as a result of that, here's what you build off of that foundation. Here's what they are. Number one, your listening is through self-justification to excuse oneself of their own responsibility. That's what will come off that foundation. You will then begin to listen to the Word of God for self-justification. Number two, you will begin to listen to the Word of God to judge someone else of their mistakes. Number three, to cover yourself. Number four, we listen through being hurt, disappointments and rejections of the past. And number five, not preparing oneself for alert focus. That comes with that foundation. What do I call that? Well, when Jan Butler steps to the pulpit to speak, we go... In Proverbs 4:1 it says, give attention. This is where we sit and let our mind wander. This is where we don't hear the full content of the message, and so we hear it on and off as our mind takes over and starts saying things. And God will not interrupt Himself. I've learned that, how to listen to a message. I've learned to keep myself out of the way and from coughing up things because I wanted to get the full impact of what the person was saying, and then I'll let my mind go over it after I understand what they're saying. See. Whether I agree with it or not, I have to hear where they're coming from. Or else I'll receive fragmentary knowledge. But I've had people come up to me and say, that was the best message I ever heard. And I says, oh, wow, yeah, I was talking on the Holy Ghost. Oh, I thought it was about Revelation. That's the first sign. These people don't know how to focus. They let their mind wander. I saw a bumper sticker once said, don't let your mind wander. It's too little to be left alone. Another point, very important one, physical sickness robs us from hearing. There are a lot of Christians who are physically sick all the time. And so that becomes an excuse not to go to church. That becomes an excuse not to go to a specific meeting or a specific gathering. Physical sickness, you got to get on top of that and not let it take you out. Some people can't even go to a healing meeting because they're sick. And the last point that the Lord told me is very important because I caught that in me a lot. Listening to the Word of God through being a respecter of persons. It literally means I will listen to a specific minister because of the strength of that minister's ministry. And that is what's gotten the church into major problems, major trouble, is because they have a respecter of people. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 2, and 3, Paul deals with it with the Corinthian church. You are still babies because you have preference over who you hear the word of God from. You're still little babies. Who is Paul and who is Apollos? Well, one plants and one waters, but God's got to be the one that gives the increase of what you're hearing. So what if you have a glory of a minister who's preaching the Word of God, but yet within his own self, the Word doesn't work? What happens if he falls? You're stuck with the residue. I told you about that big minister on TV, the trials of so-and-so. And I watched the people when they stepped to the platform. And he preached powerful messages. And then he told the congregation he was a homosexual, drugs, pedophiling. And I watched the camera went over the audience and they began to weep. They began to sob and cry. Because the minister himself felt that he was all right with God through the glory of his ministry. What a deception. You're not approved of God by your ministry. You're approved of God by behind the scenes motion. So you gotta know and understand why you're here and why you're listening to the Word of God. Because the Word of God is the most important thing for you as an individual than you even imagine. Turn over to Psalms or Proverbs chapter 4. Is this helping you a little bit? Nothing grieves my heart more as a pastor. You know what? Can I be honest with the church? Can I be honest with you guys? You know, when you're a pastor of a church, you eventually with people, if you rub elbows with them for a long time, eventually they get to know you. They not only know your upside, they begin to learn your downside. We have a retired minister here. He knows what I'm talking about. You know, most people can walk with you as long as they know your upside. It's your downside that they sometimes find themselves they can't walk with you. And the trouble is, even if your downside is unknown to you, it isn't something that's blatant, but it's something that might be a character thing or something, they'll be able, your staff and everybody around you will be able to notice that in you. But if you sow the word of God into them, they can handle that kind of downside. But if my staff found out that I was embezzling funds and running around with men, Adam and Steve, it would not only do something to them, but it would do something to my wife, my family, and everybody else I've come in contact with. And I got news for you people. A leader is a very important key to the Word of God, because if the leader falls, it brings a reproach to what he preached. Because it didn't work for him, how it didn't work for you? As a matter of fact, this particular individual was not a saved person. She belonged to HBO unit. And she did such a wonderful job at communicating with him in his fallen state. And then she switched the program back to the very thing he preached that he fell prey to. She did an awesome job. But it was a horrible thing for the church community, the church setting. It puts this criticalness in you with ministers. But if you know how to hear the Word of God for yourself as an individual, and that minister is preaching you the Word of God, it'll do you good. But listen, God is faithful to you when you listen to the Word. And here's how He's faithful. In spite of the minister, in spite of people, if the Word of God is put alongside you personally, and you're hearing it to put it alongside you, nothing can move you, because you're connecting to a kingdom that can't be shaken.
Amen.
You know, it's one thing for me to get you to trust in and receive what I'm saying, but still the responsibility to you is to hear the Word of God for yourself. And not justify yourself, but if it can prune you, take it. If it can purge you, take it. It can't purge the one next to you. The Word of God can only purge you. It can't purge the one next to you. Why? Because that's His responsibility. You can even hear it from a minister of the gospel. And if he's not living it behind your back, if it still purges you, then you won't be prey or victim for when leadership lets you down. You'll have more discernment. You'll have more understanding. But it will not put in you, well, I'll never trust again. Never trust another minister. There are good ministers out there. See, it can put a wrong attitude in you. But when you're connected to the Word of God, regardless of who's around you or who's involved in your life, still, you can really grow in love and discernment by letting the Word of God do something to you in your heart. But you have to hear it apart from these issues right here. Apart from these issues right here. In Proverbs chapter 4, it starts off at verse 1. He says, give attention to know wisdom. Did you guys see that? Was that correct? Was that correct? Does your Bible say, and give attention to know wisdom? What does it say? Understanding. What a way to start something. He goes down to verse 4 or verse 5 and says, get wisdom, get understanding. When you're hearing the Word of God properly, you'll not only get wisdom, you'll get the understanding that comes with wisdom. He says, wisdom is the principal thing. Verse 7. Actually, the principal thing means what is first in place. Therefore, get wisdom, and all your getting of wisdom, get understanding. The word understanding means insight. What is vital? Vital. The foresight, so you will never err. You know, somebody can give you a brand new car. Brand new one. Fresh off the block. And if there's no gas in it, it won't serve you 1 foot. Did you guys know that? Well, the principal thing is the car. But to understand how it moves, you got to put gas in it. Why? That's the vital necessity for the vehicle. You can get in that car. It can be a Cadillac. It can be a Lamborghini. And not Linguini. You could smell the interior. You can look at its sharp lines. Woo! Bucket sheet, chrome shift knob. Beautiful gas pedal. Wonderful brakes. And, ooh, gorgeous. No petrol. It serves you Zippo. You might as well leave it in your garage and admire it. That's all it's going to do. But if you get the understanding of what makes a thing move, that helps. You can even put it in reverse and it'll obey. You can grab the steering wheel and it'll turn. It's got a little petrol in it. So that's what he's saying here. It's one thing to get wisdom, but you got to get understanding to go with it. Because if you look in Proverbs, I hope you guys are reading Proverbs every day. How many of you guys are reading Proverbs every day? You read Proverbs every day. It'll do a number on you. And with understanding, it'll show you why wisdom is so necessary. It is so necessary. Why? It tells you how the purpose for the wisdom, the purpose of it coming into your life. Why? Well, when you look into Proverbs and you see that little word understanding, you will not find one time where wisdom is second to understanding. Understanding is second to wisdom. Wisdom is the first thing to come into a person's heart, but the Holy Spirit's job is to put the understanding why the wisdom is there. It's how it works. Why it's necessary to work. That's why you even find, how can this minister go haywire? How can he do that? How can he come up with that kind of doctrine, that kind of understanding, and I'm supposed to hear that? I'll tell you why. He has a whole lot of wisdom, but he has no understanding to go with it, and his heart will not be stabilized. Because understanding is what will stabilize wisdom in you. Most Christians step out on the diving board, and it's on a ship, let's say an aircraft carrier, that's a long drop. So if you jump off that diving board from that distance, that's what you call commitment. But if you don't have the understanding of how to land in the water, it's like hitting cement. Number one, hearing can be drastically hindered by the foundation of attitude, by the driving force being lost to your life, and no consideration for the what anchors and stabilizes your heart. In Proverbs 4 here, he goes on and says at verse 20, "My son, give attention to my words." And this word attention here means to listen, pay attention, to sharpen your ears like an alert animal. You know what causes you to bring home your elk every year? A dumb elk. It means a hunter is... Well, I'm indicting myself here, Bob. Bob's sitting there, yeah, don't tell me about it. Elk are smart animals. Bob and I were looking up a hill. Remember that one elk? He got right behind that tree. Saw it and stick his head out. Peekaboo! You see me. Now you don't. Couldn't believe how smart them animals are. One day I went into the woods to... Well, anyway. And I was walking up on a marsh. I didn't know it was a marsh. And a whole herd of elk was bedded down in this marsh. And they all got up at once. Scared them. Bullets right out of me. I turned around and I run out to the road. And I went, why am I running? That's elk. And Bob and all of us were on the road. And so... Come on, get it. So we ran the wrong way. Those elk went around us and across the road, and we went back and found the tracks where they did come out. They're smart animals. Why? Well, for one thing, they can hear. They're alert. If an animal doesn't hear you, he's dead meat. That's why it's good to get into windy weather and stuff. Man, it moves them deer around. They can't hear something. Makes them all frittery. Why? Because their hearing's all messed up. But if you get an animal that can hear something, he's quiet and he gets down and you can't see him. Why? Because he can hear you. You can't hear him. And so the writer is saying, be alert like that, be alert when you hear the word of God. Know what's being said. Sharpen yourself at it. Why? Because what it'll do, it'll keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all your flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. The word issues is direction, geographical boundaries, where you can go and where you can't go. It is the word of God in understanding. As you hear it, give attention to it. Pay attention to it. That whole man will fence you into a safe place. Did you guys get something here today? Make your New Year's revolution. I'm going to change my thinking on how to hear the Word of God. How many of you love being around believers that when they open their mouths, you know they hear the Word of God? I love being around. But how many of you know you can get around some believers and they open their mouth and you wonder if they're saved? My gosh, what church do you go to? I don't. Why? I'm just following God. It goes with the territory, people. They're crazy. Did you guys get something here this morning? Stand up, everybody. You know, when God was speaking that this morning, I didn't, at first, I said, well, God, I can't prophesy something that seems like it'd give me a dialogue beforehand. You know, I was struggling with that. And I got to thinking as I was sitting here. I said, God, you know, it'd be like you to get somebody to come up here and prophesy the very thing that I feel led to give your body. And nobody did. Well, Zane came up and gave a good prophecy, gave a good word. That was from God. How many of you know that? But the reason he even got up here this morning is because I thought he'd be the one. But the outcome of what he was saying was right. It was from God. But I sure love one of you guys get up here and say, thus saith the Lord, if you would listen to my word and take heed to it, as an animal does for you. You know, however it goes. Boy, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't be prophesying, I'd be praying. You guys get something. You slip, Lonnie. That'd have been your anointing. You get up here and you prophesy and even throw shoes off. Shoes went to flying one time. One time he got up, prophesied, and we carried him out of the facility. He spoke from God and we didn't recognize it and dragged him out. Some people have an anointing. But some people, their anointing, and a lot of times people prophesy what God's telling them in their heart, and they think that needs it for the whole church. How do I know? Because some of the people come up and prophesy. I go, gee, they need that. How many of you ran into Mr. Don't Hear? I'll tell you what he said to you this morning. It's Sunday. We gotta go to church. Mr. Not Wanting to Hear is the body of flesh. Father, I thank you for the word of God. I'll stop now. But Father, we don't have a service tonight. So give them plenty of time to meditate and repent. Hallelujah. And Father, this morning, if there's anybody here that really wants the fullness, the full understanding of their salvation, want to totally commit to you, Father, we would love to pray with them. If there's anybody here that has never been filled with the Holy Spirit, Father, we want them to have the fullness of the Holy Spirit in their life, because that fullness will drive a fire in them that they need. And Father, if anybody needs healing, we definitely have believers that can lay hands on them. Hallelujah. And so as I dismiss this service, any of you that want to come up for prayer in those areas, feel free to do it.